Blog Talk Radio.
Super Bowl that they ever seen, and these refs were the worst refs that they've ever seen, and that's no different any other year. How? And I guess I want to know one thing. What did the refs do that was so bad?
They called a fair game. They're not used to that.
I guess not, but everybody said that they gave too many yards to the Buccaneers, but I guess if the Chiefs didn't decide they needed to hold on me.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a great Super Bowl, and here we are the Wednesday before Valentine's Day. Yay!
And we have a special Valentine's Day gift to everybody.
Yes, we do. He is the person who has been on this Night Vision show probably the whole network. He's probably been on our shows more than anybody. He's awesome. He's a great paranormal investigator. He's a great person, and he's a great friend. And I'm lucky to call him a friend.
Yes, so without further ado.
Yeah, let's bring him on. Jake Fye. Hold on, Jake. We're coming.
Yeah. Hey, can y'all hear me?
Hey!
Hey, how are y'all doing?
We didn't want to give too much away, so we're just kind of, you know, talking about how great you are and all. So.
Well, I appreciate it. But
haven't been on our show more times than anybody.
I think I have. Yeah, I mean, you all have a lot of great guests that come on here often. But I think this is probably the seventh or eighth time I've been on the show, to my knowledge.
Dag, I had lost count, but oh well. I forgot co-host of History Before the Paranormal was me, so thank you for that.
Oh, no problem.
Before we get into your new documentary and everything, what else have you been up to this year with all the COVID restrictions and everything going on?
Well, so far in 2021, it's been a slow start, and it's also been a start that's been kind of hampered by weather and then also this documentary project. I had a few ideas for videos and small projects to work on in January, but just a mix of various things just, you know, kept some of them from happening. And then in mid to late January, I started working on the idea for my upcoming documentary film, which has been, it's been a labor of love, and it's also probably going to turn me into, you know, a gray-haired person by the end of this month. But I'm very excited for everyone to see this documentary. And it is the biggest project that I've ever worked on. And you know, so far, I'm very proud of it. I've already got one day of good filming done, and I'm going to have 1 to 2 more days of filming, and I'm aiming for it to be released at the end of this month.
Wow.
Yeah, I know everybody is so excited. Ever since you started talking about it, you actually introduced what it was going to be about, where it was going to be located. I know I've been very excited about it. What can you tell us about it?
So the documentary is called Ghosts of Guilford Courthouse, and it's centered around the Revolutionary War Battle of Guilford Courthouse, obviously. And the Battle of Guilford Courthouse was the main turning point in the American Revolution, and it is the battle that directly led to the surrender at Yorktown, which, of course, gave birth to America. So it's a very, very important battle historically, but it doesn't get the credit it deserves. You always hear about Bunker Hill, Lexington, Concord, Yorktown, which those are very, very important battles, but it seems like Guilford is kind of thrown to the side. And it's also cool because it's the culmination of the American Revolutionary War Southern Campaign, which out of all the subjects in history that I love to study, that is my favorite one to study, the Southern Campaign. there is so much that went on, so many interesting characters and cool little stories and battles. I mean, you had the state of South Carolina erupting into a full-blown civil war where there were over 200 battles fought in South Carolina alone, where there wasn't even a British soldier in sight. It was neighbor versus neighbor, brother versus brother, town versus town. It was a madhouse. And this documentary is kind of going to tell not just the story of Guilford Courthouse, but it's also going to tell the story of the people involved, the backstory of not just the Guilford campaign, but also the entire Southern strategy. And I'm really excited because there's just so much history to cover in this project. And it's cool because I've been to Guilford about 3 or 4 times, but the last time I went was about 2013. And since then, I have actually heard many cool ghost stories from Guilford Courthouse, including this really cool Headless Horseman story. And, you know, I really can't wait to get back down there and investigate those claims.
I mean, you listen to war stories and battleground stories, and most people think of Gettysburg, or they think of, like you said, Yorktown. Nobody really, you know, pays much attention to the fact that a lot of that did happen in North Carolina and South Carolina.
Oh yeah, I mean it. You know, the American Revolutionary War, it doesn't get the credit or, I guess, the attention that the American Civil War does, simply because the American Civil War, you know, it was more recent. You know, it was a lot larger. You had battles with, you know, hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of troops. And the Revolutionary War, it seems like a very bygone era. It seems like something that happened 300 or 400 years ago, but, it didn't. It was only 200 or so years ago. So, you know, one of the goals of this documentary is to kind of show that, hey, you know, this is history that needs to be remembered. This is something that, you know, I really hope turns a lot of people onto researching their area and the role that maybe their town or city or state played during the war. And maybe, you know, they'll come to find it as fascinating as I did.
Well, what are some of the, I know I'll keep going into the paranormal, and I know you haven't, did you just say that you have not been down here? I mean, it's literally like in my backyard, about like 2 hours from here.
So far in the process of filming, I haven't been to Guilford yet. There's crazy stories with that. I have run into so many roadblocks and so many strange things have happened. And, you know, call me crazy, but I'm starting to think there might be a supernatural, you know, influence that doesn't want this documentary being made. And it's kind of pissing me off, but it's also very intriguing.
Right. But what are some of the ghost stories that, I know you said Headless Horseman. I guess my first question would be, what intrigued you the most to this little, you know, ghost of Guilford Courthouse, this little place? What made you want to say, this has got to be my next documentary?
So this actually goes back to when I first got into the paranormal. So let's go back a decade to 2010, 2011. And, you know, I've always loved history all my life. And I remember watching older documentaries about the Revolutionary War. They'd always talk about Guilford. And there's just something really interesting, you know, about it to me, even at a very young age. And so the first time I went was actually during a reenactment they had there. I think it was 2011, 2012. And there was just something about the place. I just fell in love with it. You know, some people, you know, might say, hey, maybe it's a past life thing. You know, maybe it is. But I've just always had this fascination with it. And, you know, even when I was young, I've always said I want to go back here and I want to film. You know, whether it be like a movie like The Patriot, or, you know, like a historical documentary. I just believe this story needs to be told, and I want to tell it. And over the years, I started collecting more and more ghost stories about the place. And then, of course, I figured out through genealogy that I had a few ancestors that fought at Guilford Courthouse. And after studying some maps and different accounts of where soldiers were on the American side, I know exactly where my ancestors stood. So You know, I can go to the exact spot where they were, you know, over 200 years ago. And then the possibility to maybe talk to one of my ancestors or talk to any of, you know, the soldiers that were there that day, that's just icing on the cake. Because I've got so many questions about the battle, and I figure, you know, who better to ask than the people who fought in it?
This is true. This is true. Eric, you might want to ask a question.
No, I'm just listening right now.
Okay. What are some of the ghost stories that, other than the Headless Horseman, that were told that if someone in the paranormal would, that would draw them to go down there?
So for a lot of people, it's not going to be as flashy as, you know, some of the other locations they might hear about. There's a lot of residual activity here. A lot of people hear gunshots. They see ghost soldiers, you know, for half a second out of the corner of their eye. There's reports of being touched. There's been reports of people going through the woods where the American Second Line were, which is actually where the Virginia Continentals were stationed, and they'll swear that they smell gunfire. Or they'll see, you know, 10 or 20 soldiers in Continental uniforms moving through the brush with bayonets fixed. And, you know, there's just so many stories like that. And, of course, the main draw for me is the courthouse itself. You see, Guilford Courthouse, where the battle gets its name from, it burned in the late 1700s. And no one to this day knows exactly where the courthouse stood. Now, there was a British engineer, I can't remember his name, but after the battle, it was a British victory technically, but the British held the field, and this engineer went all over the battlefield and sketched it out, you know, exactly where the troops were, where all the buildings were, and that's the only contemporary map we have that shows where the courthouse is, but still to this day, they have not been able to find the remnants of it, and I'm talking, you know, universities, the federal government and so many other organizations have spent millions of dollars looking for this courthouse, which was a small log cabin. It was, you know, not a huge courthouse like we might be used to, but it's still very significant historically, and no one has been able to find it. And I think that by talking to the spirits that were there, I might be able to find the courthouse.
So does that mean that the records and all that were kept there have been lost?
So during that time, Guilford was still somewhat of a smaller town, and they really didn't keep records there. And if they did, they were, you know, very, very few. But more than likely what happened is small courthouses like that, especially the little log cabins, they kind of stood as courthouses slash forts, because you see, when they would build these little communities, they would first have to explore, because you still had natives, you know, Native Americans that would do raids in the area. And so they would set up these little structures as forts. They would fortify it, make sure it's okay, and then they would slowly build out around from that fortification typically. And I believe that's what they did with Guilford Courthouse. So it might not have been a place that they would have, you know, logged all the records and all that stuff. But in terms of making important decisions for the community, for the county, they would have met in that structure. And that's where, you know, some very important and historical decisions would have been made.
Oh, okay. I know it's coming out, your documentary is coming out in the end of this month. I kind of don't want to give too much away about it.
I mean, I'm honestly fine with giving information out, because it's only a few weeks away. You know, I've got 17 days until it releases, and I have been kind of skimping on the details. And I believe I announced that I was working on a project. I think it was January 24th is when I announced I was working on something. But like you said earlier, I didn't announce it until about a week or so ago. And I can't tell you how many people I had messaging me, not just on Facebook, but on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all these places saying, tell us the location, you know. And people were starting to get angry. They were like, you know, stop teasing, where is it? And so that's why I was really glad to, you know, finally release it.
Yeah, I'm guilty of asking you. I came straight. So as soon as I heard, I was like, Jake, you got to tell me where this place is. And then when I heard it was in North Carolina, I was like, oh, my gosh. This is like my back door. Because it's like, I think it's what, Greensboro, near Greensboro?
Yeah, it's actually in Greensboro.
Because that's like 2 hours from here. So it was like, dang, you know, it's like, you, like I said before, you just never, because I had never heard of it before you. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who haven't heard of the place. You know, and it's right down the road. So we love the fact that you're bringing, and you do this with other places as well, you know, bring it to the people who may not have heard the information about it or know things about it, you know, along with the paranormal. So,
yeah, well, you know, it's something I learned very young because, you know, like I've said many times on the show, you know, I'm very much into filmmaking. And, you know, one of the things, I can't remember which director said it, but he said, you know, make the movies that you want to see. You know, there's going to be an audience. If one person is interested in this idea, then more than likely other people are. And so I apply that thinking also to my paranormal projects, whether it be documentaries or investigation series or really anything else that I work on. Because when you look at a lot of stuff that people do, they seem to tread over the same locations. And it's cool that other teams are doing it because you get unique perspectives on it. I think it's really good sometimes to hit multiple locations, you know, a single location multiple times. But sometimes I do get a little fatigued personally of seeing, you know, the same location be featured over and over and over again. And so that's, you know, what led me to search out for places that is really overlooked, either paranormally or historically.
Right. This is definitely one of those places. But other than, and I'm going to get away from the documentary for a few minutes here. Other than that, what have you been wanting to do this year? What have you done? I know there hasn't been much. I mean, it's just February, but.
So far this year, like I said, I haven't done much. We've had this weather front hit us in the last two and a half weeks, and it seems like it snows every single day. It either snows or it ices, so it's really hard to get out places. And it is very frustrating, you know, not being able to go out and, you know, check out the places I want to check out. But, you know, since I can't do stuff now, I look to the future, you know, especially March and April. In March, I do plan on doing a paranormal, not documentary, but kind of an investigation episode. Because on YouTube, we do have the Five Files investigation series where Chris and I go and investigate locations. So I do have a few places in mind for that. There's actually this place in West Virginia. It's an old hospital, and it just opened up literally, I think, a week and a half ago, to investigations. And the people there have been really, really cool to me. And I'm really wanting to go there. I also announced yesterday on the Facebook page and on our YouTube channel that I'm going to be doing a little video about the Legend of Alice Flagg. Now, the Legend of Alice Flagg, I believe I've talked about it on this show before, but that was the very first paranormal, I guess, legend or ghost story that I became fascinated with at the age of, you know, 8 years old. And I have investigated her story, her legend, more than I have any other. And that includes St. Albans, which it seems like I do every other month. And, you know, kind of like Gifford Courthouse, there's so many questions and mysteries about her life, especially the fact that she has a connection to the Civil War. You see, Alice Flagg, a lot of her life story is lost to history because her records, her birth records, death records, and all that stuff were kept in the Charleston, South Carolina courthouse. Well, if you know your history, you'll know that when Union General William Tecumseh Sherman had his famous March to the Sea, he burned a lot of courthouses and destroyed historical and public records. And her record is one of the ones that was destroyed. And so a lot of her stuff was either obscure records that were contemporary and just happened to be saved, or were stories that were passed down from her family through generations to generations. And it's really intriguing. It's a part of the Grand Strand area, which if you ever get a moment to check out the legends of the Grand Strand, there are so many fascinating ghost stories from that area, Myrtle Beach, Murrells Inlet, Pawleys Island. I could spend 2 hours talking about those legends alone. But I am going to be doing a video coming out later this month that talks a little bit about her story and the historical research that I've uncovered with the help of some of her descendants, people that work at the historical society down there, and then also through remote spirit box sessions that I have done over the years. So that's going to be a fun project.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Wow. But there you get, there again, more North Carolina, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I love the Carolinas.
it seems like it's so much history.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that a lot of it, for me, I feel that a lot of Virginia may be overdone. St. Albans is a wonderful place, but it's kind of on the, well, up until COVID times, of course,
right.
On the overdone side. North Carolina, South Carolina, nobody really ever hears about it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's very overlooked.
So I think I'm going to start going, Eric, me and you are going to start doing more in North Carolina. What are you reading up? Are you reading up on the committee of the courthouse?
On the courthouse. I can't wait.
So what is one thing that you're really looking forward when you go down there? You're looking for, like, I want to hear the story. No, it's two different questions here, but the one thing that you're really looking forward to seeing or finding, and then give us the story on the Headless Horseman.
So the thing I'm most looking forward to about this documentary is honestly, and this could probably sound cliche, is honestly just being there. There are a few places in this world that I would describe as almost, you know, like my happy place. Like, I feel completely calm, at peace, and at my best at certain locations. You know, St. Almond's is one of them. I've got a few other places, you know, I go to. And Guilford Courthouse is one of those places where whenever I'm there, everything just feels right. Everything feels fine. And I'm honestly excited for that because, not just because it feels good, but also to film in an environment like that where you feel completely at peace, you know, your anxiety isn't really eating at you and all of that stuff. It seems like your distractions are kind of out the window temporarily. I can't wait to see, you know, what kind of stuff I get in that kind of environment. And then also the Headless Horseman. It's a story from the second line. See, Battle of Guilford Courthouse was fought in three lines. The American general, Nathaniel Greene, adopted the plan from General Daniel Morgan from Cowpens of staging your militia in the front because militia were inexperienced and they were seen as basically useless. So he had some of the Virginians and then North Carolina and South Carolina militia in the front line to kind of intimidate the British and take out as many as they could, and then also slow their advance. The second line was Virginia Continentals and Virginia Militia. And then the third line was the, you know, the Continental Regulars, the big guys. It was Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, and there were some other Continental regiments that were there. So at the second line was some of the fiercest fighting of the day. There was a lot of confusion because the Battle of Guilford Courthouse was fought on farmland. If you look at photos of it now, it's wooded. It looks like a scene out of West Virginia, but it wasn't then. They've let it grow up over the years, unfortunately. But during the battle, it would have been farms. You know, the crops weren't quite grown yet, so it would have been a very flat terrain, but there was the occasional little patch of woods. And the Virginians were stationed in one of those patches of woods. And the fighting got so severe that there are reports of soldiers biting each other's throats out, literally clawing at each other, bayonets all over, cavalry charging and slicing people's heads off. It was it was a madhouse fighting at the second line. You know, when you read, you know, accounts of it online, they don't really describe how brutal it truly was fighting at Guilford Courthouse. But over the years, it became the story that whenever people would be in the vicinity of that second American line where the Virginians were, that they would hear the sound of horse hooves. And when they would look, they would see a rider in American uniform riding through. And sometimes, you know, they say, oh, he had his sword drawn and was coming right at us. Sometimes they would only see him through the trees at a distance, but they all describe him as a headless horseman. And they say you'll usually only see him for 2 or 3 seconds. And that is probably going to be the coolest spirit to investigate at Guilford Courthouse, simply because I've never investigated a headless spirit before. And out of all the things I could potentially see at Guilford Courthouse, I think that would be about the coolest.
Yeah, all I can see right now is, like, Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, exactly.
That would freak me out. What do you find, Eric?
No, I'm just saying that how the college there plays a role in all this.
Oh, the college. UNC Greensboro?
So, it's actually Guilford College.
Guilford.
So where Guilford College is actually where the morning skirmish took place. See, there was a race between the Americans and the British to get to the Dan River. And basically, Nathanael Greene started this chase from South Carolina into North Carolina, where he was trying to get British General Charles Cornwallis away from his supply line so that he couldn't resupply his troops, and basically turned it into a war of attrition. And, you know, it became known Race to the Dan River. And Guilford Courthouse is very close to the Dan River, and that's because when Greene and the Americans were at Guilford Courthouse, Cornwallis caught up to them. And Greene had to act fast, and he was riding with his scouts one day looking for, you know, the perfect terrain, and he decided that the terrain at Guilford Courthouse was where they were going to make their stand. And so early in the morning, very early in the morning, actually before sunrise, the British started marching towards the Americans. They were going to surprise them while they were having breakfast. And Charles Cornwallis sent his cavalry under the command of Lieutenant Colonel Bannister Tarleton, who's a very interesting figure, ahead to scout out and see if the Americans had any pickets or if they were already deployed for battle. And while he was riding towards modern-day Guilford College, he stumbled upon Light Horse Harry Lee's legion, who Light Horse Harry Lee is the father of Robert E. Lee from the Confederacy. And they had a bloody fight that lasted about 10 minutes, and Tarleton actually lost 2 of his fingers when they were shot off, but he still fought in the battle and still led charges. So there were a series of 2 or 3 skirmishes that morning, the first one at Guilford College, the second one about a mile and a half north, and then the third one was actually back near the college. And then about 30 minutes later is when the actual battle started. So people claim that they hear sounds of gunfire at the college, which, of course, at a college is not a good thing you want to hear. And there's a theater inside one of the buildings. I can't remember the name of the theater, but people claim to see American and British soldiers inside the auditorium, which is interesting because the auditorium obviously wouldn't have been there during the 18th century. So the fact that these spirits are interacting with this modern structure, modern environment, means that they might be intelligent spirits and not just residual.
Wow.
It's the Dana Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
Just copy Bama.
Yeah, they said that that actually was built on the site where a field hospital used to be.
That's a very strong possibility. The entire 2-mile radius outside the battlefield was used as a field hospital, including the courthouse, and there was a Quaker community nearby. And they reported that most of the British and American wounded were actually transferred to that community.
That's crazy. I can't wait for this documentary.
I know.
This is like overload for me.
I honestly can't wait to start working on this. And something I talked about a little bit on the Fight Paranormal page is that, you know, this location isn't as rich in paranormal claims as some of the other locations we investigate. And also where this is a bit more centered, you know, around history than a paranormal documentary, it's going to be a bit more historical than, you know, paranormal documentary. I'm still going to have a lot of paranormal elements in this. It's going to be about 60 history, 40 paranormal. But then again, that's also depending upon what kind of activity I get when I get down there and investigate. You know, I'm kind of letting the spirits dictate, you know, whether it's more history than paranormal or more paranormal there than history. So in a way, it's almost like I'm letting the spirits kind of direct how the documentary is being made, which is kind of a cool concept.
Ooh, that is so cool. I'm so ready for this. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. I know everybody else is going to be. Oh, my goodness. I mean, just like we do on, you know, history before the paranormal, you cannot have one without, you know, you cannot have paranormal without history.
Right.
You just can't. So it's going to be awesome. Now, what vicinity is this? Centered, you know, is it centered around other things that maybe you might want to go to that are there, like on the sideline, and that are paranormal or history, or while you're down there?
Honestly, no. My focus is going to be on Guilford. There are a few other places, you know, in and around Greensboro that obviously I'd like to check out. There's this one church that's called the Clap Church. And it's a church my ancestors went to long, long, long time ago. And supposedly there was a Revolutionary War skirmish on the grounds of this church. And some of the people that died in the battle are supposed to be buried in the cemetery, or graveyard, sorry. And that's one thing I would like to do. But where Guilford Courthouse is such a huge battlefield, a huge national military park, there's going to be too much, you know, to cover, you know, and still have time for something else. So I'm kind of focusing all on Guilford for this trip.
Do you know when you'll be going down there?
I honestly don't know. My plan was actually to go a few days ago. Like I said earlier in the show, I have had so many roadblocks. I was supposed to go the last week of January, and there was someone I was actually going to go with. And the day before I went to go, you know, pick them up and then go down to Greensboro, they messaged me and told me that, hey, I just tested positive for, you know, COVID. And so obviously
oh, no.
I didn't get to take them, and I didn't have someone to go with me. So there was this other person who's actually a family member who knows a lot about Guilford Courthouse. And 2 days before I went to, you know, go meet them, their vehicle, which has been very dependable, it's been in the family for about 6 or 7 years, all of a sudden crapped out. And they said very strange that, you know, out of nowhere, it just started having these serious problems. And so 2 weeks ago, no, it was about a week and a half ago, there was someone else who's actually more of a filmmaker than investigator, and they were going to help me out. And literally 2 days before, they texted me and said, hey, I just tested positive for COVID. And so I was going to go yesterday, and I was planning on being down there at 11 a.m. and leaving at about 4:30, 5 o'clock, which is when they close. So got up very, very early, crack of dawn, had my shower, you know, had breakfast, and something told me to check, you know, the website. And so I checked the Guilford Courthouse website, and it said the tour road will be closed temporarily because of fallen trees. And, of course,
no.
The tour road is, you know, what I need to be able to get around, and without it, I'd be basically stuck. So there's just so many things that have happened. And then I had a file, because one of the cool things about this project is I have reached out, I think I lost count at about 65 reenactment groups from the Revolutionary War, people that, you know, living historians that depict these regiments. And I was asking, I was like, hey, you know, if you have any reenactment footage, either from Guilford or from somewhere else, you know, could I use it for my documentary? And it's so cool because I had a few reenactment units that actually sent me footage to use for my documentary to give a bit more, you know, realism to it. And it's so cool that they did that. But I had a folder of all the footage I was going to use and then some stuff that I had filmed previously that I was going to use, recycle for this project. And I got on my laptop one day to do a little teaser video, and all the files were gone. And there was no record in my computer of those files ever existing. So I went to the downloads tab on my computer. I was like, well, I downloaded it from here. Surely it'll show up. Nothing. Even though I have on the Fife Paranormal Instagram proof that those photos, you know, were in my timeline, my Adobe Premiere Pro timeline, they just disappeared. Now, thankfully, I was able to get them all back. I just had to re-download the files. But something deleted an entire folder and then erased all traces of it. And that's something I've never had happen before.
Dang, Jay, you've got something. You've got, seems like, all sorts of things against you.
I mean, I honestly have never had this many problems with this film. And it's something else. This has actually been going on for a little while, but, you know, it's kind of a strange thing, but my hair is turning blonde in the front for no apparent reason. And over the last week or so, it's kind of accelerated. And I've got a decent amount of blonde in the front part of my hair, which is weird because I've always been, you know, dark-headed. And now I've got blonde streaks. And my whole family and all my friends are convinced that I dyed it. And they're like, it looks like, you know, high-quality professional dye. Who did it? Who? How much did you pay for it? And I was like, no, I literally woke up like this.
Oh,
and it just, you know, this documentary project is having strange effects on not just my electronics and my equipment, but also me, it seems like.
Man, this is straight out of a movie.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you be careful down there, because that something sounds like it's definitely don't want you telling the history of this.
Yeah, which is really strange. You know, why would something, you know, not want me to tell a story of a seemingly, you know, it's just a normal historical event. You know, people have done stuff on it before. Now, no one, to my knowledge, has ever done a paranormal investigation of it. Like, if you go online and type in, you know, ghost hunting Guilford Courthouse, you won't find anything. Or at least, you know, I haven't been able to find anything. So maybe there's something that, you know, it doesn't want to be disturbed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Got to be a first. And Jake's going to do it.
Yeah.
Everybody listen up. Jake is going to do it.
Yep.
Wow. Well, we have a few more minutes. Gosh, just the hours, I swear, they go by so fast.
They do.
Is there anything that you would like to tell anybody, or maybe put out your website, or, you know, just this is your few minutes and just whatever you want to say to them?
All right, well, first off, I'd like to thank everyone who tuned into tonight's show. I really appreciate it. And if anyone has any questions about my research, my work, or the upcoming documentary, they can contact me at facebook.com/FifeParanormal or at our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/FifeParanormal. We're also very active on Instagram, which is, you guessed it, instagram.com/FifeParanormal. I hope you all once again enjoyed this show. I can't wait to release this documentary. The target date right now is February 27th, which is a Saturday, and it'll be released sometime between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. is what I'm looking at. And then also, this summer, I am going to be going back to my hometown in West Virginia, and I'm going to be doing a documentary about my hometown Bigfoot. And it's going to be complete with interviews from eyewitnesses, some evidence of Bigfoot that I've collected, and then also it's going to feature an investigation looking for Bigfoot. So that's going to be sometime June or July, but I haven't announced that yet, so this is, you know, the grand debut of that future project.
And I know we have discussed it, that we have Bigfoot down here an hour away from me, and I would love to take you to, I would love to take you there and to the cryptozoology, I can't even say that word, oh my gosh, to the museum. They have footprints and hair and a number of other things from Bigfoot that's supposedly in Medic State Park. Would love to have you down for that.
That would be cool.
Also, remember that I live 2 hours from Greensboro. Would love to go with you there sometime as well.
Yep, that would be fun.
And,
not to interrupt, but I think it would be cool at some point to do like a large experiment, just, you know, tell a bunch of investigators, hey, I'm going to be at this location at this specific time, you know, bring your equipment and let's see what we all get, you know, almost like a group investigation of a historical location. I think that would be cool. Maybe Guilford would be the perfect place for that.
I think it would. That would be a perfect place. You let us know when that happens, so we will be there.
Will do.
Well, thank you for coming on with us tonight. And then we get to get our history before the paranormal back up and running, and we're going to be having that. Once you have a few minutes of time to get with me on that.
Jake, have a few minutes.
Yeah, I know. Jake don't have any time, but it's okay.
I mean, the history before the paranormal stuff is always a lot of fun. So I'll definitely get with you here soon on that.
Okay, great. That'll be, seems like, I mean, it seems like this year, I mean, I know it's just February, but it seems like time is flying again.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, thank you for coming on with us. Thank you for sharing all of this with us. We look forward to having you on again very, very soon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. Eric, do you have anything?
I just want to thank you again because I know you stay busy and you have so much going on and just taking the time to share with everybody. And I know I was quiet tonight, but I was just kind of listening and it's just overwhelming to me when you talk, because I'm getting more now into the history aspect, because I was just sitting here thinking, I really want to get you up here and take you to a place we've started going to more, and it's called Fort Magruder.
Fort Magruder Hotel, Williamsburg, Virginia.
Mm-hmm, I've heard of it.
And get you taken. It's really incredible.
It is. So we've got to get you there, so... We'll be getting together pretty soon.
Yep, and hopefully, you know, this weather front will pass and it'll start warming up.
I hope so. I'm so sick of the cold.
Me too.
Anyway, thank you again. We'll talk with you later.
Oh, thank you. Y'all have a good night.
You too.
Right, you too. Thanks, Jake.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Wow.
As usual.
That was incredible. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jake. That was just amazing. I hope you guys found it as informative as I did. I was sitting here just amazed by
it. He is an awesome, like I said, paranormal investigator. He's a great guy. He's a good friend. He's just all of that, all in one.
And you see, he takes the time to get his facts straight. I mean, and he's driven. If there's something he wants to do, as you see, you heard all the stuff they went through, and yet he wants to do this. So, you know, you guys, like us, we need to support that. Because that's the type of people we need.
Hope everybody's doing well and keeping safe. And I'm going to say it again because my mama says it to me 100 times. Wear your mask. I don't even want to bring that up on the show, but wear your mask. Because he said he's got some friends that has it, and, you know, it's just bad.
And I have to put in a small plug for me. I know this has nothing to do with paranormal.
Eric starts his new job Monday.
Yes. And I can't wait. It's been a long, crazy journey.
So everybody please message Eric on Facebook or whatever he has, and message him, text him, and give him, you know, your best wishes for Monday, because Monday's going to be hard for him. He has been in this department how long? Has it been 30 years?
Well, not in this department. Well, actually, that department in different areas been close to 30 years.
So he's putting those boots on the shelf, and he's bringing out another boot and going to be putting on a different hat and learning different things. So y'all give him your love and best wishes.
And, oh, yeah, I got to put in a plug for this, too, since we got just a few minutes. But if you get a chance, please, please, please check out Busch Gardens. They have changed their whole way of doing everything, and they're staying open year-round.
I know. Busch Gardens year-round, y'all. Oh, my God. I'm so happy. So happy, so happy.
But they have now what they call a Mardi Gras. And it is really, really good.
It is very good. I didn't think, I would not have said in, what was it, we started going in November, and like September, October, I was like, hell no, I'm not going. You know, you got to wear your mask, and I'm not really a mask person, and, you know, I do wear them. And Eric can tell you this, I've became a mask person, but what, about like 50 now.
Yeah, I know, but at least you're wearing them.
But at least I'm wearing them, you know. Hartsfields, that's a different story. Sorry we haven't had a show. Seems like everything has happened here lately.
Well, she didn't have one this past Sunday because everybody knows
Super
it was
Bowl.
Super Bowl. And her heart was in that because she's got one she likes on both teams, so it was like a...
Yeah. So it could go either way for me. This weekend, of course, is Valentine's Day, and I'm not going to interrupt anybody's time with their loved ones. So after that, it's going to be Come On, Let's Go. So if you want to be on Hartsfields, if you want to sit around with me and chit-chat and shoot the bull about women things, let me know.
Oh, and I want to send out a healing shout-out to some good friends that I know of that are battling the C word right now. So, people, please just take this stuff serious. I know we're in, you know, hit with so much daily, but this is serious. So please take necessary precautions.
Well, I don't want to sound like a preacher, but or a teacher, or whatever you, or a stickler, or a Karen, or whatever they want to call you.
Mess with their head.
Or they want to mess with their head. Just do it. Let's get this crap over. My mom and dad have both had at least one shot of the antivirus, and they're both doing fine. So.
Good to hear.
Yeah, so, you know, they haven't turned green or purple or grown horns out of their head yet, other than the ones they already have. just do it. I'm ready for things to open back up. Music-wise, gosh, I could talk about that for days. We won't, you know.
Yeah, please open up. As you guys know, huge, humongous DeLoreans fans, and I'm having major DeLoreans withdrawals.
So we want to send our love to them as well. When y'all were there, we'll be there. So anyway, thank you for tuning in to us tonight. We love you as always. Come back next week. And then come back the Sunday after for Hartsville, Sundays at 9.
Yes, and again, I'll say, please, if anybody has any ideas or something they want us to talk about or something they want to know the history before the paranormal and contact.
Yeah, please contact me. Give me some hints. Give me some clues. Give me a topic, something to talk about, somewhere you want to go. I want to look into maybe this spring going to Lake Shawnee. I want to get up a group of people to go. If things open back up, I'm going to be there. I'll be ready to go. 2020 sucked. 2021 is not looking much better. But I'm ready. And anyway, love to you all. And going to dedicate this next the outgoing song to our girls that we haven't brought down, our mascots. We haven't brought down in a while. They're sitting up there looking at us and thinking,
oh,
what the hell?
Oh, man, yeah, I didn't even mention them tonight.
So we're raining it out next week as well. Anyways, love you. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead? Giant.